噔噔噔噔噔噔噔噔噔噔噔噔噔噔噔噔噔噔噔噔噔噔噔噔噔噔噔噔。It was December 24th on Hollis Avenue in the dark. When I see a man chilling with his dog in the park, I approach him very slowly with my heart full of fear. Looked at his dog. Oh my God, an ill reindeer. But then I was illin' cause the man had a beard and a bag full of goodies. 12 o'clock had neared. So I turned my head a second and the man was gone. But he left his driver's wallet smack dead on the lawn. I picked the wallet up and then I took a pause, took off the license and it cold said Santa Claus. $1 million in it cold hundreds of G's. Enough to buy a boat and matching car with ease. But I'd never steal from Santa, cause that ain't right. So I'm going home to mail it back to him that night. But when I got home, I bugged, cause under the tree was a letter from Santa, and the dough was for me! Da 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 da. Da da da. This is the musical interlude. Da 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 da. It's playoff time in fantasy, but the Grinch is a guy named Todd Gurley. He's been bad this year, but not his fault, you see. Crap passers, bad O-line, and Jeff Fishy. Drafted him in round one with hopes so high, but he lied on the ground. Every week I cried. Under 10 points a game, I should have drafted Ajayi. And Die Hard is a Christmas movie. Dun, 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 dun.
All right, let's start the show.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
Get your lineup set. It's time for Start or Sit.
Let's go.
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Well, Dave, Richard, thanks for getting us off on the right foot. Good stuff, man.
No problem. I always pay off my bets, and I look forward to you paying off the bet that I win this week when Tom Brady does better than Joe Flacco.
Yeah, I'm not really looking forward to it, but you know why I'm not looking forward to it? Because I'm worried that it's just not that funny.
What, the original lyrics that you wrote?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm banking on them not being funny.
I guess that would be even better, huh?
Yes.
All right. So it's Friday. Dave has paid his bet. He's wrong about Die Hard, and we don't have to talk about that, but it's amazing how global that argument has become. And I think it's us. I think
we started it.
I don't know if we started it, but we certainly made it popular.
And
I don't know if anybody can
say I'm wrong about it when you are clearly the one who's wrong about it.
Everybody is so off on this. Like, it's the dumbest thing. It's just not even close to a Christmas. It's close, but it's not a Christmas movie.
It is.
It has everything you need in a Christmas movie.
It's got guns.
Right.
It's got cursing.
Sure.
It's got blood.
Thank you. So today we are looking at the NFC home games. We got 7 of them plus that fantasy dud not for everyone, but for a lot of players last night. 24-3, the final score. Michael Floyd to the Patriots. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the draft challenge. I got a lot of listeners that are giving me their usernames, so that's getting going, and that's pretty awesome. Got the start-o-meter again for players like Devontae Adams, Tevin Coleman against San Francisco, a bunch of Colts at Minnesota. How about Doug Martin at Dallas? Pretty interesting week, and really looking forward to it. Hey, the Patriots claim Michael Floyd. Is he worth an ad?
Nope. No. Maybe Dynasty Leagues if somebody cut him, just with the off chance that he sticks there. But congratulations to you. You bananaed him to a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah. You know, I don't want to get off on a tangent here, but come on.
Go ahead.
What kind of message does it send? Guy gets kicked off a team for DUI. He's on a new team 3 days later.
It's not a new team. It's a better team.
It wasn't just the DUI, though. It was everything that surrounded him this year. It was contract season. They're not going to pay him. Poor performance. And then the DUI was just the reason to get rid of him at the final straw.
Yeah. But if the Patriots got him, does that mean everyone else passed on him? Everyone in the NFC?
Everyone except for Dallas. And one of the.
Well,
teams.
We don't know if Dallas is last, right? They have the same record.
They do. Then those are the last two.
Those
teams.
Are the last two. Yes.
Right. So if Dallas had claimed them, then maybe they would have had them. I'm not sure what the tiebreaker is for waivers, but yeah, 30 teams passed on Michael Floyd.
Yeah. Interesting.
Which to me is surprising because I think the Patriots claimed him if only to have his negotiating rights. Maybe they sign him to a 1-year deal before free agency starts.
It's an audition.
Right.
It's gonna be, it'd be pretty interesting if he's on the roster next year. It would have a ripple effect on.
And there's one more thing. Brady Quinn brought this up because the Notre Dame guy would bring this up. Michael Floyd was with Charlie Weiss when they were together at Notre Dame, and Josh McDaniels' playbook has a lot of Charlie Weiss' influence in it. And so he might know that playbook already. And if McDaniels stays there, or if at least the playbook stays in New England, then Floyd's got a leg up on learning it for the future if he's there.
It also, if you want to go like real deep conspiracy theory, is this maybe the end of Rob Gronkowski?
Oh, boy.
Because of injury, not wanting to pay him, and they go from two tight end set team to four wide receiver set team and change their offense a little bit. This stretch.
Yeah, I hope not. All right, so that's pretty interesting news. Adrian Peterson practiced again. Do you guys think he's going to play this week?
No.
No.
Okay. He's said, you know, he's trying to come back for the Packers game.
Okay. And he did get picked up in the one league he was available in that I'm still in. I put in the claim. I said dropping Deion Lewis.
I dropped him.
You dropped – oh, in that league, Peterson, yeah. Yeah.
And I just – I needed – my receiving corps is a mess. So I picked up Inman and dropped Peterson.
But that was on Monday or Tuesday.
That was on Tuesday, yeah.
Yeah, he was picked up. Peterson was picked up. Rex Burkhead was dropped. So, yeah, it's yep. It's funny. Easy. It's like, is he a must-add? 80% of the people who responded said no, but there's probably someone you could cut easily and be fine adding Adrian Peterson.
Yep, just don't cut anybody who's going to help your opponents.
That's true. Do you expect Julio Jones or A.J. Green this week?
I'm going to say no.
I would say no, too, but A.J.'s really trending toward playing. I mean, you know,
he's practiced two straight days,
and, you know, looks like he's trying to get back out there. For what, I don't know. I don't know why he would rush.
Yeah.
Like, Julio's a different story just because of their playoff implications.
How close is he to 1,000 yards?
I think he's within 100.
That's why he's rushing.
But he can do it in two games. He comes back 16, 17.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Julio, or it's A.J. Green. He can do it in one game.
Right.
He's at 964. He can do it in one quarter. He can do it on one catch.
I'm sure part of it is wants to play spoiler if he does come back this week with the Steelers.
Sure. Now, do you guys think if A.J. Green plays, you're going to be okay starting him, or are you worried about the Jordan Reed thing, or do we need to get more information before we answer a question like that?
I would say we always need as much information as we can possibly get, but there's definitely some rust that has to be shaken off. He clearly had a hamstring injury that cost him some time. There's no way he's going to play at 100%. It's not an easy matchup for him. So I know it would be exciting to put him back into your lineup. You've waited this long to get him back. I'm just not sure he's going to deliver 10 fantasy points.
Well, Adam, in that same league, I have A.J. Green, which is why I needed Dontrell Inman. I'd have to make a decision between – I have both Chargers receivers, Inman and Williams, and Stephon Diggs, Brandon Marshall, A.J. Green. There's one more guy I think I'm missing in that. Oh, Taylor Gabriel. So it's going to be tough for me to sit A.J. Green, just given that group, you know, of who has the most upside.
Yeah, well, and then I have A.J. Green and Julio Jones in the two quarterback league I keep complaining about, PPR, and as of now, I'm sitting the two of them for Taylor Gabriel and DeSean Jackson, which has the most boom or bust potential. That could be incredible, or that could be so bad. You never know. Those guys are big play guys. They don't get a ton of targets. They don't get a ton of catches, but they have good opportunities.
I think the thing for you would be, honestly, is you'd want, if A.J. Green plays, you want Julio, I guess, no, that wouldn't make sense. Never mind. Yeah.
Nah, it's going to be a tough call, but we'll see what happens. And you can always, of course, watch Fantasy Football Today on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern on CBSSports.com. And listen to Eye on Fantasy Football Saturday night from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. We're doing 4 hours, and we're going to need your help. We're going to need your phone calls. So listen up. Follow us on Twitter. The number, if you're interested, 855-212-4227. And Seattle 24, Rams 3. We can make this pretty quick. The only thing I want to say is, you know, I critique the "Oh Sunday Night" song. Yes, I'm singing.
There it is.
Yep. I haven't talked about the Thursday Night song because I usually turn on Thursday Night Football about 30 seconds before the game starts. I've never really seen the song. Maybe once or twice. The part of the song, I'm not sure if you guys know what I'm talking about, where Eli Manning is lip syncing and he has the most intense singing face.
That's the best part.
It's incredible.
Uh-huh.
It's incredible. I just want to say that.
Wow, you got to sing and talk about the Giants.
Can I tell you something? I've got a feeling about Eli Manning this week.
That he's going to have 185 yards and a touchdown?
No, that he's going to be good, that he's going to be like top 10.
You guys, I wouldn't be surprised. Him. I mean, look, his track record at home is impressive. But he's just been so hard to trust, and the way that they've been playing right now is not necessarily inspiring.
That is how you attack the Lions, though. It's through the air. I don't think you can run, and I don't think the Giants can run on anybody anyway.
No, they can't.
Yeah, but you would have said the same thing about playing Dallas, and how'd that work out?
And they did, but they ran 31 times, the most against the Cowboys' opponent, most by a Cowboys' opponent all year, and they were terrible. They were just trying to nurse the lead. But you know, I think if it doesn't rain, it's going to be like 40 or 50. It's not going to be so bad on Sunday. It's 17 right now, by the way. That sucks. Anyway, we can come back to that. I just got this sneaky feeling. You guys have Eli around 20th, which I totally get. But Seattle 24 and Los Angeles 3. Jared Goff in the concussion protocol. Michael Bennett did not suffer a concussion. Should be okay for next week. Rams cornerback Mike Jordan left with a concussion. He was filling in for AJ Gaines. His replacement quickly gave up a touchdown to Doug Baldwin. Those are your injury notes. Do you have any, I just want to kind of knock this game out. Do you have any thoughts on this game that that are interesting?
If you told me Thomas Rawls was going to have 21 carries and two catches, I would have told you that he would have had
that
a minimum of
line
80 yards and a touchdown.
Abysmal.
It was bad.
I'll tell you, a lot of people are going to be afraid of Rawls in their championship game. Don't. It's San Francisco. He's going to be fine. Oh, no, it's Arizona.
Yeah, it's Arizona.
Yeah, it's Arizona.
Are you sure?
17.
Yeah, Gurley's got San Francisco.
Yeah, right. He was bad.
They're both.
Yeah, one nice run.
That's a tough call. He had, Kyle Gurley had his second run of 20 or more yards all season.
That was Seattle's punter. Yes.
What, the punter?
Yeah, the punter had a better run than both running backs.
But Todd Gurley, second run of 20 yards this season. He had 11 of those last season. And even with that gain of 20, I think it was like 22 yards, he had 38 yards. So he was terrible. Rawls was awful. And Aaron Donald may as well have played fullback because he was, that's how quickly he was.
He was in the backfield the whole night.
The whole night.
Every time, it's funny because of the 20, what do you have, 21 carries? Of the 21 carries that Rawls had, I would say 15, he was touching the ball when there was a Rams defender staring him right in the face.
Yeah. He got really frustrated. I meant he should have, Aaron Donald could have played fullback for the Seahawks. That's, you know.
Yeah.
In case you didn't get it. How about Kenny Britt getting the Richard Sherman treatment?
I thought he still played well.
Yeah.
Jared Goff just missed him a few times.
Oh.
Like the one play where he threw the ball, you know, he trailed out of bounds.
Yep.
That was just a bad throw by Goff.
Oh, well, how about the 3rd-and-1 throw by Goff in the end zone? Wide open guy. Brian Quick
was right there. Yeah.
Yep. And how about Russell Wilson? 26 fantasy points. He had scored 33 fantasy points combined in his previous three games. Lockett big game, Baldwin touchdown. Thoughts on the passing game?
You can tell that was the focus early on for Seattle, is that they wanted to throw the football and get Tyler Lockett involved. And I think it's just the Seahawks trying to pick on that Rams secondary. You know, it used to be that you never would mess with Michael Jordan. And now, against the Rams, you mess with Michael Jordan. Cornerback Michael Jordan.
Do you have confidence in Wilson against the Cardinals now?
I want to see how their defense looks against the Saints without Branch and without Buchanan.
Sure.
So that'll be key. They're not going to run on Arizona. And I think the thing about it is Wilson hit the big play to Lockett. The touchdown to Baldwin was nice. It was a stupid play call scenario, just how that whole thing unfolded at the goal line. And the touchdown to Wilson was nice as well. But he played well. I mean, you know, that's the one thing about it. He was moving around in the pocket a little bit. Looked like Russell Wilson that we typically see. And, you know, maybe this is him getting hot.
I hope so. And Jimmy Graham, total dud. He got an end zone target. It was nearly intercepted. I thought it was intercepted, to be quite honest.
Right. And his other target
totally
went
to 31
yards.
Right, it was intercepted. What was that?
Yeah, I didn't understand that because when they showed the replay, first Chris Collinsworth was like, oh, he got 3 feet in. And I'm like, yeah, he got 3 feet in. And
I
then,
think what he said was that Jimmy Graham had a hand on the ball and Graham was out of bounds. Is that what the ruling was?
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. You know,
they didn't really explain the ruling. They just said, you know,
they wanted the game over with, just like the rest of America.
Well, that was early in the game, though.
They wanted the game over, just like the rest of America.
Yeah. All right, so Tyler Lockett, your level of interest in Tyler Lockett.
It's tough to trust him going into, you know, Arizona. But if we find out Peterson is going to shadow Baldwin, which wouldn't make sense because Baldwin plays in the slot, then you'd feel very comfortable with Lockett.
You remember what happened last time? He started out shadowing Baldwin. He was, I think, a little banged up coming into the game, and then he stopped. Pretty sure that's what happened. He hates shadowing Baldwin. He doesn't like shadowing slot receivers, Patrick Peterson.
Yep.
I'll tell you what. If you play into week 17, you can grab Tyler Lockett. He plays San Francisco.
If they're playing, though. Because if they've locked up the two seed, then they're probably going to rest guy.
If they've locked up the two seed.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, starting this Sunday. Well, actually, it's been a couple Sundays now. NFL on CBS games are available on CBS All Access. You can stream live local market games on your computer, your tablet, or your connected device. Go to cbs.com/NFL. cbs.com/NFL. You can try it free for 1 week. You can watch your games on your laptop, your tablet, your desktop, if you have one of those, a connected device. So cbs.com/NFL. We've gotten so many emails about that whole Mike Nugent ad drop thing and the commissioner that allowed the extra roster move. And everybody thinks that we're crazy, that there's no way it should be allowed. Well, really, that the commissioner is crazy. And I agree, it should not have been allowed. I want to wrap it up with, like, I don't know if you guys want to weigh in again, if you've thought about it more. You cannot allow that as a commissioner. If anybody missed it, it was at the end of a podcast, I think Tuesday. Can't do it, commissioner. You cannot change the rules in the playoffs.
If they put it to a vote, it's fine. I'm totally fine with it.
But they put it to a vote, and the only people who voted for it were the ones who were eliminated.
So what? It's part of the league.
I personally would not have put it to a vote, but I think a commissioner has a right to put anything to a vote and involve everybody in the league.
All right, fine.
Like I don't think it's so far out of bounds that it's ludicrous. But
why do you want to beat somebody when they're not down a player?
Because that's his fault for not breaking the rules by using an extra transaction.
He picked a kicker that he thought was going to be on somebody's team for the rest of the season.
Nah, I'm sorry.
That's what you gotta leave yourself some wiggle room. I don't care.
No, that's stupid.
All right. The guy runs out of transactions. Mike Nugent gets cut. The commissioner allows him an extra transaction after the limit.
After putting it to a vote. If everybody voted no, then he's stuck.
It was a 5-3 vote? 5-4 vote?
5-4.
No. All right. Fine. Any weather updates that are relevant for this weekend?
It's just the one in Chicago. That's the only thing that we see as of Friday morning. 0 degrees, partly cloudy, 17-mile-an-hour winds. There's going to be 15-mile-an-hour winds in Buffalo as well. That could hurt the deep ball game for both quarterbacks.
Is it supposed to rain at all Saturday night in New York?
Foggy, apparently, foggy, according to Heath.
Because the thing that I would be concerned about is the two games back-to-back with that field.
Yeah.
For the Giants-Lions game.
Did you know that they are not putting Giants or Jets in the end zones?
It is going to be a neutral field.
Yeah. Yeah. Why don't they just put New York? I don't know why they wouldn't do that, but okay. And your news and notes, James Starks appears unlikely to play this week. Mark Ingram practiced. Michael Thomas practiced, so they look like they'll play. Luke Kuechly practiced in full, and I was a little surprised, guys, at where you have Rob Kelly. I think top 15. We will... So let's talk about it right now. Rob Kelly.
I have it ranked with Kuechly not playing.
Okay.
So
me too.
If Kuechly's going to play, then I'm going to drop him.
Okay. All right. So we'll get into that a little bit later. Cam Newton dealing with a shoulder injury. He's around top 12. He's interesting this week. And Brandon Marshall will be on a snap count. So nobody wants to start him, right?
No.
Okay. Jerry Jones supported Dak Prescott. So good for him.
As opposed to what? What else is he supposed to do?
All the crap he's been saying leading up to it.
He kept the door open for as long as he could. He made it clear that, you know, there was a chance that Tony could come back, but Dak played his way into this role.
All right, and Joey Bosa is going to play this week against Oakland, and do you expect Theo Riddick this week at the Giants?
Not as of now.
Chris Ivory at Houston?
I don't believe so.
And
I think that's T.J. Yeldon all the way.
Darren Sproles at Baltimore.
No Sproles. Not expecting Sproles.
Okay. So, look, I've been challenged by the listeners. Bring it on, listeners. You have downloaded Draft. Used our promo code FFToday. You tweeted me at Adam Azer, and you gave me your username. At some point today, I'll be inviting you to contests on Draft. There's still, maybe even tomorrow. There's still some time, though. Still room for more of you. If you want to play against me, we'll play for $1. And here's what you do. You download Draft. Search Draft in the App Store. It's going to come up first. Be sure to enter the promo code FFToday. FFToday. When you download, you'll get 100% bonus on up to $600 when you deposit. Again, search Draft in the App Store and enter the promo code FFToday. Draft is really cool. I can tell the listeners like it. Heath and I have a contest going against each other. You can do a quarterback-only contest, stuff like that. It's really cool. You do snake drafts that only take a few minutes. You set a lineup just for this week, and then we'll do it again next week. On draft, your chances of winning money are almost three times better than your chances of winning on FanDuel or DraftKings. So download Draft and use our promo code FF today. Time for the start-o-meter. Brandon Cooks at Arizona, 0-5, 0 not interested at all, 5 absolute must start. Brandon Cooks, go.
2.5.
Thomas plays, 4. Thomas is out, 3.
I'm 2.5 either way. Thomas, no Thomas. Peterson, no Peterson.
What about the Tyrann Mathieu? Like, is Tyrann Mathieu going to play? He was trending toward it, no?
It looks like he's going to have a chance to play.
Yeah, he's been having a chance to play for the last 3 weeks, so let's see if he gets out there.
Okay. Now, all right, so this is interesting, Jamie, because you say if Michael Thomas plays, Brandon Cooks is a 4 for you. That's what you said, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But, and that's because you figure Peterson shadows Thomas, whatever. But, yeah, he's so bad outdoors. You talk about it all the time. He's so bad on the road.
Not outdoors.
It's not the outdoors indoors. It's the surface, and it's a grass surface in Arizona.
I always forget that.
Yeah.
All right, but he's bad on the road. So why be confident in Cooks when he has not scored more than 7 fantasy points in standard in 4 straight games?
They're not running on the Cardinals. They're going to be throwing. Breeze is throwing the ball 50 times. So I'll take my chances with Cooks in that scenario.
Okay. And that's why you guys have Breeze fairly high?
Yeah. I mean, look, Breeze is not getting to the level I think that we think he can get to without somebody making plays for him. Now, maybe you want to say Brandon Coleman steps up or Colby Kleiner has a great game against a team that's allowed one touchdown.
I actually like Snead to begin with.
I like Snead too. I think all these guys are going to have to make plays. Now, it may not be 100 and a touchdown for all of them, but I think you can see these receivers being in the 80-yard range if he's going to attempt as many passes as I expect him to.
Okay. Back to the start-o-meter. How about Davante Adams at Chicago?
4. 4.
Really? And Jordy Nelson, I guess, would be a 5 then?
Sure.
Yeah. I would have said 5 for Adams
if Rodgers was
practicing all week and weather wasn't too much of a concern. It's really just more Rodgers not being 100%.
You're really that concerned about the weather?
I'm concerned about the weather for a quarterback with a muscle issue. Yes, 100%.
How could you not be concerned about the weather?
Listen, I know it's going to be cold, but he plays in Green Bay.
And
he's
he was limping around all second half of that game against Seattle and has not practiced at all this week. How can you not be concerned?
I'm a little concerned, but I figure that gamers come up to play, and he's going to be kept warm and the muscle will be kept loose. It's not like he's going down there to play, you know, sandlot football without a trainer or anything there.
He still has to go into sub-zero degree weather with a calf injury that is obviously an issue and bothered him before, and he played poorly when it had an issue on him before. So you have to downgrade his guys.
What did he do last week?
When he was healthy before the calf started bothering him, he was great.
Right. And then all of a sudden the calf hurts and he's just miserable.
But two weeks ago, Rodgers scored 19 fantasy points with bad weather against Houston. And this is going to be the coldest game in Bears history.
It's something, but it's not going to pull him. I'm not going to pull him from my lineups because of it.
Oh, I don't think you do that. But I think if you have Ryan Cousins or Carr, you start them over Rodgers and not hesitate.
Wow.
Maybe.
And I said this to people yesterday. If you're concerned about it, start Wilson, because Wilson was right behind him in my rankings at 5.
Yeah, you know, why would you be okay with Carr, but you're worried about Stafford? Now, I know matchup's part of it, but I feel like you're worried about Stafford's finger injury. Carr was so bad on Thursday, and he's got the pinky injury. You know, like, I'm starting Carr. I'm gung-ho. I need to ask. Why are you downgrading Stafford because of the finger and not Carr?
Well, two things. One, I didn't like Carr last week. It had nothing to do with his finger. It was going into Kansas City where he has not had a good track record, as Heath and Chris illustrated, with the weather. And now he's facing a much better situation, matchup. I think also, if you ask any quarterback, they'd much rather have a pinky injury than an injury in the middle of their hand, along with the fact the two different injuries, whereas Carr just has a dislocation. Stafford has a dislocation and torn ligaments. And so his adjustment to it is much different. But really, it's all about the matchup. I mean,
yeah,
the Giants are tough, and we've seen Stafford. He had one great game in his last, 6? And it was against the Saints in New Orleans.
Yeah. No, The question wasn't, why do you like Carr more? Because I totally get that. Even if Stafford were completely healthy.
No, it's a finger. I get it.
Yeah, yeah. It was more of how much you're downgrading each of them. Okay, makes sense. How about start-o-meter 0-5, Golden Tate at the Giants?
3.
2.5. He's had 2 good plays the last 3 weeks. And this is a good Giants defense.
Do you feel like...
Only 200-yard games to a wide receiver all season long.
Yeah, he's not getting that. But he can still get you 70 or 80 in touchdown.
Do you feel like Anquan Boldin's going to be the best receiver for the Lions?
You know what? I don't know if I'm going to go out and say it. Like, I'll still start Tate ahead of Bolden, but I think Bolden's kind of sneaky. He's touchdown or bust. There's no doubt about it, but they can definitely attack with him in the red zone.
Okay. Start-o-meter for Tevin Coleman against San Francisco.
4.
Yeah, 3.8765. Almost a 4. I could see both running backs for Atlanta taking off. And they can make an impact in the passing game as well. But I think against San Francisco, I think it's a no-brainer that you're going to see them run the ball quite a bit.
Would you start Coleman or Rob Kelly?
If Kuechly plays, I would start Coleman.
There's no question about that.
Coleman or Golden Tate?
Oh, Coleman.
Coleman. Tate and PPR.
Okay. Would you start one more? Coleman or Sammy Watkins?
Sammy.
Sammy.
All right. Andrew Luck at Minnesota on the start-o-meter.
I moved him down.
2.
I'm at, like, yeah, I'll say 2. I don't feel great about it. He's banged up. Offensive line's messed up. Moncrief not expected to go. And the Vikings are, you know, they're clinging. This is a playoff game for both teams, although both teams might miss the playoffs. I think it's a real tough spot for Luck. The thing that I liked about the matchup coming into the week was they're not going to have an easy time running it, I don't think. So it's going to force Luck to throw the ball. And so, you know, it's the Drew Brees argument. He's going to attempt 50 passes. The numbers have to go somewhere. Hilton has played more in the slot than out of the slot this season. My guess is that he's going to line up there. He'll avoid Xavier Rhodes there, and he's going to have a good game. So if Hilton has a good game, who else is going to get a good game from Indianapolis? Maybe Jack Doyle. I doubt it's going to be Chester Rogers, Dwayne Allen, anything like that. Maybe Frank Gore. But I thought Luck, and I still think Luck has a chance to get you 20-22. I just don't think he's got a 30 burger waiting for him.
Like, I'm sitting in for Flacco. I'm sitting him for Taylor. Again, the 3 guys ahead of Rogers, Carr, Cousins, and Ryan. The one that I'm struggling with right now is Palmer. Because you look at Palmer's last 4 games, bad in the rain at Miami, bad at Minnesota, good in the other 2, 1 at Washington, 1 against New Orleans.
I'm starting Palmer. I'm starting Palmer over Luck.
Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree with it.
Yeah, but you guys have Luck right around 10th or 11th, all 3 of you, Heath included. And then T.Y. Hilton, doesn't seem like you're concerned. Where's T.Y. Hilton on the start-o-meter?
5. Yeah, like Dave said, he should move around enough to avoid Rhodes. It's not the type of receiver that Rhodes has success with.
Right.
Because he's better with the physical guys more so than the speed guys. And I think Luck is still going to throw the ball a lot. And Hilton's still the most reliable guy with Moncrief out.
All right, the next guy on the start-o-meter is Frank Gore. And I just want to say, I feel like, yeah, Luck might throw the ball a lot, but I don't think they're going to get away from the run because the Vikings' run defense is not as good as its pass defense, and I think they should run the ball on Minnesota. Frank Gore gets you, you know, about 10 to 12 fantasy points in standard every week. Start-o-meter on Gore, 0-5.
3.
I think he's, yeah, 3.5. He's not bad. I just don't know where the upside lies with him this week. I think he can get you to 8. I would say this right now.
He can do that in his sleep.
He'll be better than Rawls after what Rawls showed you last night. So, but he doesn't have the upside of, let's say, a Powell. The guys you've been starting for the most part along the way, like Latavius Murray, you're not going to start Gore over him. But Gore's in the conversation with Spencer Ware, with Jeremy Hill, with John Stewart, you know, Kelly, if Kuechly plays, you know, just guys that are going to get a lot of work and have a chance to play well, but don't necessarily have, you know, that tremendous ceiling this week, just given their circumstances.
Well, I expect him to get 15 carries, and here's what the running backs who have gotten 15 carries have done. against Minnesota. Jordan Howard, 25 fantasy points on 26 carries. That's not going to happen for Gore. Rob Kelly, 9 fantasy points on 22 carries. He averaged 4.4 yards per carry. David Johnson, 27 fantasy points on 22 carries. Unfortunately, I don't think Gore is getting the 20. Maybe he will. Ezekiel Elliott, 15 fantasy points on 20 carries. TJ Yeldon, 8 fantasy points on 17 carries, but he also had 7 catches. So they all had at least 8 fantasy points in standard and more in PPR.
I'll tell you, I'm just looking at Gore's game log right now. The game that I could see being somewhat of a mirror to this is the Jets game in week 13, where he had 20 carries for 79 yards and no catches. Now, I think he'll catch the ball a little bit more. I don't think he'll get 20 carries, but I think 15 for 60, somewhere in that range, and 2 or 3 catches, because he's been under 4 catches now for 3 straight games.
Mm-hmm.
So if he gets you 2 catches for 25, so he's got just, you know, 7 to 8 fantasy points. I think that's kind of where he lies if he doesn't score.
Maybe his touchdown potential goes up, though, in the red zone without Moncrief?
Well, if that's the case, he's only scored on the ground 1 game since week 4. Because they do go to Turbin in that regard. So you're talking about the Packers game in week 9, which was kind of a fluky game, if you recall, because Luck didn't have to do very much and the defense was great. He had 19 for 60 and 2 touchdowns. Since that game, 18 for 50, nothing on the ground. He had 71 yards receiving. 15 for 28, that's the Pittsburgh game without Luck.
Yeah.
20 for 79, no touchdowns against the Jets, no catches. And then last week against Houston, he gets the receiving touchdown, which was his first since week 8. So you're really asking a lot for a guy in a tough spot to be great.
Oh, no, I'm not asking him to be great. No.
I'm not saying you. I'm just saying, you know, people who are starting him. Like, I have a decision in our magazine league where am I playing you?
No, you beat me last week.
I beat you last. I'm sorry.
I
just remember that you and I played recently in that league. I'm sorry. I have a decision to make between Gabriel and Gore in the flex. And obviously, I'm going to play Gabriel if Julio's out.
That's standard scoring.
Yes.
See, Gore's safer, don't you think?
I'm not looking for safe. I think the floor is the same for them, to be honest with you.
Okay. All right, guys, let's speed it up a little bit. Alshon Jeffrey, 0 to 5.
2.
Closer to 4 than 3.
Oh.
3.7.
So, Taylor Gabriel or Alshon Jeffrey?
Gabriel, and it's not close.
I think I've got Alshon higher.
Doug Martin, 0 to 5.
2.
I'll say 3.
Jameis Winston, 0 to 5.
2.
2.
Can I just tell you that I think Doug Martin has just completely destroyed the Bucs offense?
I think that's a fair statement, but I don't know if it's Martin. I think it's just the idea of they don't want to be this wide open offense. They want to be conservative.
It's since he's come back, the pass attempts are down. For Winston, the production is down. And it's
defense is
it,
better though,
and the record is spotless.
Yeah, but it's interesting. That's but problem. This is not the week for him to get 20 carries. It's never happened against Dallas. Hasn't happened once this year.
Yeah, I don't really like Doug Martin, to be honest with you. It's just the thought of him scoring a touchdown, because like we talked about the other day, it doesn't take much for him in that regard. And I think they'll move the ball on Dallas. I don't know how much success they'll have, you know, in terms of like a dominant game. Mm-hmm. But I think Martin can still have the chance to score, but only 2 guys have scored in Dallas this year in Ryan Matthews and Terrence West, and no running back has gotten to 100 yards rushing against them in any place.
Martin or Gore?
Gore.
Gore.
Winston or Luck?
Luck.
Winston or Prescott?
Winston.
Oh, you guys are adorable. 0 to 5 on Prescott.
I'm going to say 2 for him as well. I just like Winston better.
Yeah, 2.
So Flacco and Taylor over those 2 guys, Winston and Prescott?
Yes.
Easy.
You know, getting a lot of I've gotten this question so many times. Colin Kaepernick. Would you start Colin Kaepernick over Tom Brady? For whatever reason, the owners of Brady seem to have Kaepernick. What would you guys say?
I'm not there yet. They're 3 spots away from me, but I think Kaepernick's going to have one of his better games this week.
I think Brady has a good game.
I disagree.
It's Tom Brady. He's a great quarterback. It's a tough matchup. He's come through before. Regular season more so than postseason against the Broncos.
Don't see it that way.
Okay.
You know what I love about Tom Brady? The dude is well-dressed. If he got a suit, it would probably be from Indochino. Indochino.com. INDOCHINO. Look, we got this amazing offer code and time is running out, okay? It's holiday season. $389 for any premium Indochino suit. These are $800 suits. FFT is the promo code to use at checkout. You want that discount? Enter FFT at checkout. 50% off the regular price for a made-to-measure premium suit. Indochino is one of the largest made-to-measure menswear brands. They're making it easy for men to get great-fitting, high-quality suits and shirts at an incredible price. And if you don't want to buy the suit, then check out their holiday deals on shirts, on pants, and other products. But the suits are awesome. Customizing every inch of your suit is so cool. The monogram, the sleeves, the collars, the lining on the inside of the jacket. It's just like, it's a lot of fun. It's a fun process. And at the end of the day, you are going to have the best suit you've ever owned. It's going to last you for a long time. So go to Indochino.com or drop by one of their 9 North American showrooms. Again, any premium suit for $389 when you enter FFT at checkout. Shipping is free. I love my suit. You're going to love yours too. Jamie's got to get out of here in a few minutes for some fun family thing with his kid, right?
Yep.
Cool, man.
It's football season, man. Come on.
Where were you on Thanksgiving?
What happened?
Where were you on Thanksgiving?
I don't remember.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, New Orleans and Arizona is our first game here. We're going to go through the 7 NFC home games. Drew Brees is 6th for Jamie, 5th for Dave, and 10th for Heath. So you would not go as far as to start Flacco or Tyrod Taylor or Colin Kaepernick over Drew Brees, right?
I can understand doing it. I mean, look, Brees has been awful for 2 straight games, and it's not an easy matchup against Arizona, but hopefully volume and his receivers making plays for him, getting Thomas back, maybe getting Max Unger back.
Right.
You know, those things will all be important for him.
If he didn't have Thomas and Unger, I'd sink him.
Is Unger going to play?
He's been practicing.
Yeah, so that's a good situation for him.
Yeah, same thing with Thomas. He's been practicing all week, too.
Now, we have talked about Rob Kelly. It's probably going to be toward the bottom of the top 24, right?
Rob Kelly?
Yeah, yeah.
No, I love him. As of now, if Luke Kuechly plays, it's going to be
different. Yeah, if Kuechly practices on Saturday, then I would sink Kelly.
Okay, I was banking on Kuechly not playing because he is practicing. But, okay, what I was going to say is we've talked about...
Well, just keep in mind... Him practicing versus him being cleared. Those are 2 different things with the concussion.
I know. We talked about Gore. We talked about Kelly. We talked about Martin. I guess Gore and Martin are better examples right now. Are they all ahead of Mark Ingram?
Yeah.
Yes. It's hard to trust Ingram right now.
He's not getting touches.
2 monster games in his last 5 or 6, whatever it was, when he had the 2 28-point games.
Yeah.
And, you know, 4 or 5 duds.
3 of his last 4 games, he has 7 carries. 7 carries.
Right.
Well, the toe's been a problem.
Okay, so is
it's not healthy.
It doesn't matter whether it's the toe or the coaches don't believe in him or game flow or whatever. It hasn't worked out. I can't trust him against Arizona when the Cardinals are at home.
Yeah. LeGarrette Blount scored in week 1. That's the only running back to score Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
The Saints wide receivers, how are you ranking them? Let's assume Michael Thomas plays.
Well, I'll put it this way. I don't have Thomas ranked right now, and I've got Snead ahead of Cooks. If I rank Thomas, and I probably will by the end of the day on Friday, Thomas would still be 3rd among the 3, and I'd have a call to make between Cooks and Snead. I would probably move Cooks ahead of Snead.
Yeah, I have Cooks ahead of Snead. I'll keep it that way. Thomas will be 3rd, but I think you look at Thomas as a low-end number 3 receiver, just with the thought, again, that he's probably going to see the most of Peterson.
Cooks, Thomas, Snead.
And
Cooks, Snead, Thomas.
If Thomas doesn't play, you expect Peterson to be on Cooks?
Correct.
Okay. So would you? How many Redskins receivers would you start over Brandon Cooks, assuming that he won't get Patrick Peterson? How many Redskins receivers over Cooks?
2, maybe 3.
Crowder and Jackson.
Correct.
Would you go Cooks or Edelman this week?
I'll go Edelman in PPR, and it's going to be real close in standard.
Cooks
don't hold
both.
Me to it. I'll say Cooks, but don't hold me to it.
Cooks and both.
All right, Carson Palmer, 12th for Jamie and 12th for Heath. Dave, you do not like Carson Palmer, 18th for you in the rankings.
Yeah, I think this is a David Johnson game more than anything else. I know that everybody's excited about J.J. Nelson and Larry Fitzgerald because Michael Floyd got cut. Palmer just seems like there's a lot of risky quarterbacks this week. I think he's more risky than them all. And the Saints defense, I know they've got the reputation of being terrible. They've been okay lately. They've been okay.
2 of the last 3, they've given up 22 or more fantasy points to quarterbacks.
I don't know if Carson can get there.
Yeah, Jared Goff got there.
I mean, that is true. Jameis Winston scored 8, so you never know.
Right. I think the Saints are going to score points on the Cardinals. I think you're going to see Palmer in better elements than he was in last week. He's got 4 straight games.
Who are you starting him over?
The one that I'm well, Roethlisberger is an easy one. Just in terms of name guys,
sure.
Winston and Prescott, those are easy. The one that I'm struggling with right now is, and I'm starting over Cam. The one that I'm struggling with right now is Luck. Just I think there's more upside with Palmer given his circumstance. And again, you go back the last 4 games, 2 good performances, 2 crappy ones. The 2 crappy ones were at Minnesota, who nobody's played well, which is why I would maybe consider him over Luck. And the other one is against Miami in a monsoon where, according to Bruce Arians, it only rained on them, not the Dolphins. So I just think that there's – I'm talking myself into it. I'm going to move Palmer ahead of Luck.
Yeah.
So there's just more upside with Palmer this week given the Saints' track record of late, and their defense has not played very well in spots like this where there's going to be a volume passer, and this is going to be a volume passer.
Jamie, I'm going to let you go now, but why don't you tell me about the Cardinals wide receivers, if you want to just go out on that.
I still think Fitzgerald's the best one, and losing Floyd will hopefully help his red zone production because has, for whatever reason, been a red zone guy for Palmer. But he's not a slam dunk start, and neither is Nelson. It's just one of these situations where Gresham could score. I agree with Dave. It's going to be a David Johnson game, but David Johnson's been so much a part of the
passing. It's like 5 plus catches a week.
Yeah, I mean, they're splitting out wide. He's you know, really taken over in that regard.
Yeah, maybe he scores in the red zone from Palmer.
Yeah, absolutely. He had a 2-point conversion last week, so on a pass. So, yeah, David Johnson's certainly going to be a part of the passing game. I just don't think it's a slam dunk for either guy, but I do think that both Fitzgerald and Nelson are number 3 receivers. And if you are in the situation of you played against Wilson, you had a bad game from Rawls, and you're in this muck of receiver land of not having a slam dunk guy, and you picked up Nelson, the
start
upside,
him. Yeah,
the upside is tremendous.
Yeah, well, I hate that. Would you start JJ Nelson over Malcolm Mitchell?
Yeah,
easy.
All right,
I start him over Mitchell. I start him over Robinson. I start him over Hopkins. I start him over Marshall. You know, any of these
would
guys?
You start him over Robbie Anderson.
I would start him over Robbie Anderson. You know,
you would?
The interesting one will be is your comfort level in AJ Green coming back from the hamstring problem. I'd probably still go Green. Alshon Jeffrey coming back from the 4-game suspension in the weather. I'd probably still go Jeffrey, but you know that's where Nelson's starting to shape up. He's a very high upside number 3 receiver and a great option in daily play.
Okay, Jamie, thank you. Have a great weekend. I'll talk to you tomorrow night.
Oh, we're gonna talk tomorrow night, buddy, for 4
and
hours.
Sunday morning.
See ya. Bye.
All right, that's Jamie Eisenberg. All right, Dave, we got about 20 minutes or so left.
All righty.
So finishing up this game, Jermaine Gresham is 10% owned. If you're desperate for a tight end, he's 16th for Dave and Jamie, a little bit higher in PPR, and around 12th for Heath. And 6 or more targets in 4 of his last 5 games. But honestly, the Saints, they've been pretty good against tight ends.
Yeah, they've been all right. They haven't allowed a touchdown to a tight end in 4 games. Or they have allowed a touchdown to a tight end in 4 games all year. 4 fantasy points or less to 4 of the last 5 tight ends they've seen.
Yeah,
so,
and that's been
hey,
like
Gresham's got to score. That's the name of the game.
Yeah. Cardinals DST is 9th for Jamie, 12th for Dave, 13th for Heath. They are not a slam dunk. You can start the Bills over them. You can start the Texans over them. There are options. You know what DST I'm really struggling with, Dave, is the Falcons.
Why are you struggling with them?
Because they were amazing last week. They helped me win a league. But, man, look at their game log. That was the first time in like 6 weeks they did anything good.
Well, they've been pretty good against the pass ever since Desmond Trufant went down.
But that doesn't necessarily translate to fantasy points.
I understand. And certainly their run defense has been a problem. But they are playing the 49ers and the Niners don't put up a gob of points, a single gob, not gobs. They barely put up a single gob.
So would you start the Cardinals DST or the Falcons DST?
Falcons.
Okay. Green Bay at Chicago. I think we have covered this game. You know, if there's a crazy blizzard or something and
yeah, then you'll pull out completely if that happens. But
okay,
it's
right.
supposed to be a little windy and very, very cold.
Very, very cold, yeah. Mm-hmm. Forget it. I'm not even going to give stats on this game because Green Bay just breaks the mold. But the Bears' defense is not that bad. I think an interesting one is Randall Cobb. Any interest in Randall Cobb?
He's just been so bad, and Rodgers has been getting it done with his outside receivers. I know he's got some good history against Chicago. I would be hard pressed to start him.
So would you start J.J. Nelson over Randall Cobb?
Yeah, I think there's more upside.
Is there more? Well, there's not necessarily more downside. Cobb's got plenty of that. Don't sell him short. and then Jordan Howard. So if I felt like this game was going to be close and competitive, I'd be very excited about Howard. He's obviously a good player. He's almost matchup proof. But really, four of his last five games, he's been between 8 and 12 fantasy points in standard, which is not great. And it's because, which is good, but not great. It's gorish. But that's because he hasn't scored in those games. And he scored three times against San Francisco. So other than San Francisco, Howard just does not find the end zone, and he's somewhat involved in the passing game. So, you know, does that make sense, like having a little trepidation here?
Adam, he's the only chance the Bears have.
They don't have a chance.
Oh, I think they do. If the weather's really bad and if Aaron Rodgers plays as poorly as Jamie thinks he might.
All right. Well, that is
then
fair.
Then I think, and they're going to lean on him anyway. In their last seven games, Green Bay's allowed 7 rushing touchdowns and 4.8 yards per carry to running back.
But what if it's like Rawls last week? You know, Rawls was like 6 yards per carry, but he didn't have a good fantasy game because they got blown out.
That's possible. But I think it's a little less likely. Division rival on the road. And throw the weather on top of it. I think it's more conducive to running. And Howard is just, he's going to be the guy that Chicago tries to build around on offense. Whereas Seattle, they had Rawls, but Russell Wilson is still, you know, a huge factor in what they do.
I understand. So would you go with Jordan Howard or Demaryius Thomas?
I'd consider Thomas in a PPR. Jordan I might consider him in a standard league too, because I think Simeon has a good game.
Jordan Howard or Edelman?
Edelman, PPR, Howard standard.
All right. That's it. You're not starting anybody in the Bears passing game.
Well, Alshon.
Oh, right. Forget. Why do I have no interest in Alshon Jeffrey? Like, if we're worried about the Packers passing game in the cold weather and we're just kind of giving them a pass because they are the Packers, how could I have any faith in Alshon Jeffrey?
Because he was averaging 8 targets a game before he got hurt. He's a good receiver. He's got a lot to play for. And Packers have allowed a touchdown to a wide receiver in 6 of their last 7.
Yeah, but Alshon's got 1 touchdown all season.
That's okay. It's a different quarterback. It's a new game.
Is that good
and look,
for him?
We can talk about Howard being the centerpiece of the Chicago offense. Eventually, they're going to have to throw. And Alshon should get a lot of work. I'm not saying he's going to have 100 and a touchdown. But if you want to pencil him in for 8 fantasy points with Gus up to 10 to 12, I think he can get you there.
Okay. And the Packers DST also better than the Cardinals, right?
I'm not big on the Packers DST.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the last 4 defenses to play against the Bears, I believe, maxed out at 10 fantasy points.
Interesting.
So I have the Cardinals a little higher.
Okay.
Cardinals are 12th, Packers are 15th in my rankings.
Tampa Bay is at Dallas on Sunday night, and in their last 4 games, Winston has failed to reach 20 fantasy points. Brate has 1 game with more than 4. Evans, 2 huge games, 2 duds, and it's all because of Doug Stinking Martin and his 20 carries per game and 3 yards per carry. But their defense has been exceptional, 13 points per game in their last 5. Which quarterback do you like better, Dave?
I'll say Jameis, but I'm not in love with either one of them. I think it's a difficult matchup for both, particularly because of how the defenses have been playing lately. The defenses have been really good against quarterbacks. 6 of the last 8 against Dallas have 17 fantasy points or fewer. 4 of the last 5 against Tampa Bay have had 18 or fewer. And we're talking about some good quarterbacks that have gone up against these defenses. So I think Dak is kind of regressing a little bit. And I think both offenses are trying to adapt conservatively to what's happening around them. And they're just focused more so on winning games, leaning on their defense, leaning on their ground game, trying to swallow up game clock, not trying to outscore their opponents.
Yeah, I think Dak had 1 bad game, and it was at the Giants. He scored 12 fantasy points on 18 passes at Minnesota. If Dez Bryant falls in the end zone, that's 18 fantasy points on 18 pass attempts. I think it's being a little overblown, but I get why he's not great for fantasy. I just think people are like sounding the alarm because he played horribly at the Giants, but the weather was bad. He's probably not used to playing in that kind of weather. So I don't know. It's a different discussion. It's more of an NFL discussion. Any concerns at all? Sorry, Dave. Any concerns at all about the studs in this game, Evans, Elliott, or Dez?
You're going to start them no matter what I tell you.
Okay.
You know, maybe in daily you don't use Evans or Dez, but Ezekiel Elliott is Ezekiel Elliott. He's going to be fine.
Cameron,
I will note this. Tampa Bay has only allowed one rushing touchdown and one receiving touchdown and one running back with double digits and fantasy points in their last seven games.
Wow.
They've been great against the run, but it's not going to stop you from using Zeke.
Cameron Brate or Ladarius Green?
I'm going to check that because I wanted to say I have Green ranked higher, but I have a funny feeling that I've got Brate a little. They're both in the top 10. I've got Brate 8 and Green 10 in PPR.
All right, so Brate is a good
standard. Go ahead of him.
You have Brate one spot ahead of Delanie Walker.
I don't like Delanie Walker much this week. Yeah, pretty much the only reason why Delanie Walker. There are two reasons why he's in my top 12. One, because of his track record, and two, on the off chance that he scores a garbage time touchdown.
Okay. Anyone else in this game? Beasley, Witten.
There's nothing.
Okay.
This is a game where the DSTs and the kickers might be the true heroes.
But they're not ranked very high, the DSTs at least.
Right.
Carolina's at Washington, the Monday night game, and Cam Newton is interesting. Cam Newton, 14th for Jamie, 12th for Dave, 13th for Heath. Yeah, the last six quarterbacks against Washington have been ridiculously good. Well, Dalton, 21, Bradford, 22, Rodgers, 35, Prescott, 22, Palmer, 30, Wentz, 14, but 314 yards, second most of the season for him. So it looks like a good matchup. I would say that Cam's had good matchups before, and he's done nothing with them. I'd be nervous. Would you start Cam Newton or Andrew Luck?
I have Luck out of Cam, but I'll admit that it's close. I think this is a game. If Sam Bradford can get 22 fantasy points against Washington, and if Carson Wentz can get over 300 yards against Washington, then I think Cam Newton can find his way.
Would you start Cam Newton or Ben Roethlisberger?
Cam.
Cam Newton or Eli Manning?
Cam.
Okay. Jonathan Stewart. Or which running back do you like better?
I like Kelly better than Stewart. I think they both have a chance to score. I think Kelly has the higher ceiling when it comes. Well, that's how it is now. Kelly has the higher ceiling for yardage as of now. And maybe even if Luke Kuechly plays, I'll still say that because he's actually been catching a couple of passes and Jay Stu doesn't really get the chance to do that. Stewart's got a good matchup. I don't love trusting him on the road, but he was just in Seattle, had a good game at Seattle. If he can have a good game there, who's to say he can't do it in Washington? So I think it's safe to say that they're both number two fantasy running backs. Kelly has a slight edge.
I really would like to avoid both of them. I really would, especially in PPR. Like, Rob Kelly is not that big of a factor in the passing game.
Both of these guys might not catch a pass.
Yeah.
And their ceiling for receptions is two.
And Kelly is getting about 15 carries a game as opposed to the 22 he was getting, you know, 4, 5, 6 weeks ago. And he had one good run last week. Without that run, he has another bad game. So they scare me. They need touchdowns. And Carolina's run defense has only been bad basically once, and it was against Seattle. Even without Kuechly, they were okay, but the Seattle game, they were terrible.
They have allowed a touchdown to a running back in two of their last three, none in the six previous.
Yeah.
And that defense, at least without Kuechly, a little more susceptible to giving up numbers on the road than at home.
All right, let's rapid fire, Dave. We're running out of time. So Greg Olsen and Jordan Reed are both top five tight ends. They both have great matchups. Start them.
Yes.
Any Carolina wide receivers?
You know, again, I guess as a deep flyer, like I'd take J.J. Nelson ahead of him. Maybe he catches a long bomb. I would not and continue to not trust Kelvin H. Benjamin.
How much do you like the passing game, the wide receivers, Crowder, Jackson, and Garcon?
I like them all in PPR. You can start there. I've got all three of them in my top 36 with Garcon bringing up the rear. And Deshaun, believe it or not, is pretty high compared to Crowder. Crowder actually is outside of my top 24. And I think Crowder's starting to lose some of his luster, you know, Stephon Diggs style, because Deshaun's back. Garcon's there. Reed's there.
So these Jackson's guys your favorite this week.
They're taking targets away from him, so Deshaun is the favorite.
Okay.
It's that way in standard, too. I don't know if I would trust Garcon in standard.
Okay. And again, you like Jordan Reed. Carolina allows the most fantasy points to tight ends and four straight games allowing a touchdown. So hopefully he gets more playing time and should be good. And you just expect a big number from Washington. And Detroit is at the Giants. True or false, Dave, the only player you feel good about starting in this game is Odell Beckham Jr.
I'm okay with Sterling Shepard.
Really?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, I told you I had a hunch about Eli Manning, but you know what? It's just a hunch. He hasn't been playing well. There are enough quarterbacks. There are no bye weeks. I don't think you have to start him. I would start him over Mariota.
Could see that. Yeah. Dalton? Without A.J. Green?
I would start Eli.
Sure.
Yeah.
Roethlisberger?
You're not looking at a Giants running back, and you're not looking at Dwayne Washington, right?
Right. I wouldn't.
Okay. So when you talk about J.J. Nelson, you talk about Ted Ginn, these guys being flyers, are they ahead or behind Sterling Shepard?
I think Shepard is safer. I think he can get you the 8 to 11 fantasy points that you've come to know him by.
Yeah.
And in PPR, you add 4 to that, so 12 to 16.
Needs a touchdown. And how about Eric Ebron? Good matchup, but boy, has he been bad lately.
Yeah. I don't like trusting Ebron. I think this is, you know, we joke about Anquan being a tight end. I think this is more of an Anquan game than it is a Ebron game.
Would you start Gresham or Ebron?
I believe I have Ebron higher.
Yeah, you do.
Gresham and PPR might actually be safer.
But you have Jack Doyle one spot ahead of Eric Ebron.
Jack Doyle.
Yeah. So how about that?
I think I've got Doyle a couple spots ahead of Ebron.
Two in standard, one in PPR. So the defenses in this game, Giants and Detroit, are okay. They're around 12th. Mm-hmm. And Indianapolis is at Minnesota. I think we have spent enough time on the Colts. Jack Doyle, though, is a you know, decent streaming option here. For Minnesota, anybody you're starting confidently in this game? I can't figure out the Thielen-Diggs thing.
I can. I think Thielen has become their number one outside receiver. I think Diggs has lost his luster and he's playing more in the slot. There's always the chance that Diggs has a good game, but his targets have gone down as Thielen's have gone up or stabilized, depending on what you're looking at and what type of span of time you're considering. But I like the matchup for Thielen. And I like it for Diggs too. I just think that Thielen's a little bit better. I think Bradford's going to have time to throw in this game compared to a lot of other games. And that'll help him work with both receivers. And I also like Kyle Rudolph.
You do like Kyle Rudolph? Because he's also been bad.
I know. Well, PPR, he's been money. He's been getting a lot of targets and a lot of catches. And last week, he was good for everybody.
Yeah, last week he was. Surprisingly good game at Jacksonville. So, okay, start Rudolph. But he's behind, he's right up there with Olsen and Reed.
Mm-hmm.
I think people are probably going to start Olsen and Reed over
I think so, Rudolph. Too.
He's right up there in the rankings, I mean. Okay, would you start Diggs or Crowder?
Crowder.
Thielen or Crowder?
I will go Thielen.
Okay, and avoiding the Minnesota running backs, right?
Correct.
San Francisco at Atlanta is a pretty easy game. We talked about Tevin Coleman. Devontae Freeman's a must start. Matt Ryan's a must start. And then it's Taylor Gabriel. You know, you confident in him?
I am if Julio's out. He was tied for the team lead in targets last week. He's a big play guy.
He only had like six targets.
It was only six, but it was tied for the team lead. And I think that tells you something about how the Falcons view him. And I think they have plays designed for him and they scheme him up. And this is a 49ers defense that's been burned by speed all season long. So I think there's a lot of upside with Gabriel. And I don't know if the downside is really there compared to where it's been in the past.
Dave, all three of you have Carlos Hyde as a top 10 running back, and he has been involved in the passing game, so maybe he can catch one against this team. They give up a lot of receiving production.
I mean, if the Niners are going to hang around, Carlos Hyde's going to have to play well.
And then Kaepernick, you're not feeling. You have him 23rd.
Yeah, I'm not feeling him.
Yeah, he stinks.
I know.
And no Torrey Smith, probably. No Vance McDonald.
Right.
So who's he
throwing to?
You can't. I just like look. He could. If Atlanta gives up the most fantasy points to quarterbacks, most of that was early.
But that's
in the year.
Over the course of the season.
Yeah, but right, they've done better lately. But it's still. It's like how could you go into your fantasy semifinals and start Colin Kaepernick over Tom Brady over Andrew Luck over?
I don't get it. I don't think you can.
Yeah, of course it could happen. Anything could happen. But I just wouldn't have confidence in it.
Three of the last four quarterbacks against Atlanta have 14 fantasy points or less. That's Wentz, it's Alex Smith, and it's Goff. I will grant you that Colin Kaepernick is a better quarterback than Jared Goff.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to go as far as to say, I guess statistically he's better than Alex Smith. And probably a little bit better than Carson Wentz too, but it doesn't mean that he's gonna, okay, so that means he gets you 16 points instead of 14?
Okay. Email from Jonathan. Dear Johnny, Robert, Cam, and Mark. Those sound like Heisman Trophy winning. I don't know who Mark is. Ingram, maybe?
Mark Ingram.
Yeah, Heisman Trophy winners. Pick two wide receivers, PPR. Crowder, Devontae Adams, Ty Montgomery, Dontrell Inman.
I'm going to need the names again, please.
Crowder, Adams, Montgomery, Inman. Pick two.
Adams and Inman.
Okay. This is from Brian. Pick two wide receivers. This is standard. Fitzgerald, Crabtree, Gabriel, and Inman.
I'm going to go... Fitzgerald is out.
Crabtree, Gabriel, Inman. Pick two.
Inman and Crabtree.
Okay, this is from Jason. Dear Tyler, Tyler, Brandon, and Adriel.
Those are Bengals pass catchers.
Okay, he needs... to bench two in PPR. Dontrell Inman, Alshon Jeffrey, DeSean Jackson, Jeremy Hill. So start two, bench two. Inman, Alshon, DeSean, and Hill.
I think it's Alshon and Hill who get the bench.
So you're starting Dontrell Inman and DeSean Jackson?
Correct. Dontrell's been good. Been getting a lot of catches, too. At least five per game, I want to say. Four of his last five.
And last one from Jason Q. Dear Clark, Bruce, Kyle, and Wally.
Clark, Bruce. Wow.
That is interesting, isn't it? Oh, it's the comic book ones I never get. These are comic books.
Which comic book?
Well, Clark Kent, Bruce Wayne.
Oh, well, that's more than just comic book.
I don't know who Wally? Kyle and Wally are, though.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong. Wally West? Who the heck is Wally West? Do you know?
You don't know the Wally West?
I know Wally World. Wally West is the kid... Flash? I think it's Flash. Okay. Last one. I thought that was Barry Allen. Two of these four running backs. Jordan Howard, Jay Ajayi, Latavius Murray, Ezekiel Elliott.
Murray and Elliott.
There you go.
Really love Murray in Daily Fantasy this week.
Good luck in week 15, my friend.
You know, I'm playing for a final spot in seven leagues this week.
Oh, wow.
And I'm off to a bad start. I've got Rawls in two of the bigger leagues. One of them is the 24-team office league. Another one is my keeper league, where we snuck into the playoffs in advance this past week. So I'm gonna need some good numbers from a lot of players.
Right,
hope everybody gets good numbers from a lot of players.
Hope you have some Raiders and Chargers, because that's the bonanza. And that's it for the show. We had a great wrap from Dave and a great time. Thank you all for listening. Eye on Fantasy Football tomorrow night. See you later.
Later.